ascends to the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. Frail children of dust and feeble as frail, in thee do we trust, nor find thee to fail. Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end, our Maker, Defender, Redeemer and Friend.
Good morning, and welcome to Searching the Scriptures, brought to you by the Church of Christ that meets at Wasilla. We are located at 2061 North Merciful Circle. From the Parks Highway, take Seward Meridian, then turn right on Bogart Road. We're just past the Boys and Girls Club on the right. Our phone number is 373-5773, and our website is churchofchristwasilla.com. Come and study God's Word with us. We meet at 10 a.m. for Bible study, 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. for services, and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7. Each week, we'll endeavor to help you grow by searching the Scriptures. 2 Peter 3:18 reads, "But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Please take out your Bibles and search the Scriptures with us this morning.
Welcome to Searching the Scriptures. I'm Wendell Fikes, and we invite you to stay tuned as we study the Scriptures together. We're encouraged by your interest in examining and searching the Scriptures with us each Lord's Day. Today's lesson is entitled, "Do Miracles Occur Today?" Remember this headline, newsflash, January the 15th, 2009? New York jet crash called Miracle on the Hudson. The plane struck a flock of birds during takeoff. With both engines out, a cool-headed pilot maneuvered his crowded jetliner over New York City and ditched it in the frigid Hudson River on Thursday, and all 155 on board were pulled to safety as the plane slowly sank. Some passengers waded in water up to their knees, standing on the wing of the plane and waiting for help. The governor said, "I believe we had a miracle on the Hudson." Was it a miracle, or wasn't it attributed to Captain Sullenberger's extraordinary skill and experience as an airline pilot, assisted by First Officer Jeffrey Skiles, making an emergency water landing in the icy waters of the Hudson River? Many of us watched on television as the heroic rescuers lifted every passenger to safety. From all the evidence, pilot skill, experience, and calmly executing an emergency water landing was what occurred that evening. The plane remained afloat with enough time for the rescuers to arrive and retrieve every person from the cold river before the aircraft sank. We readily admit that courage, skill, bravery, and fast-acting professionals helped rescue all 155 people from sinking with the aircraft. But none of these were miraculous. None of those involved in the event did a miracle. They did what they were trained to do. We believe you would agree. Jesus our Lord did 5 miracles at least that involve water, recorded in the Scriptures. Mark chapters 4 and 6, Luke chapter 5, John chapters 2 and 21. In our study today, we will focus on one of the often heard expressions in the news media, in our society, and in some religious churches. You'll hear someone say with excitement, "That was a miracle." Was it really a miracle? Or was it a great accomplishment? Was it a very courageous act? Was it something very difficult to explain or understand? What is the biblical description of a miracle? Can miracles be performed today? Let's read the biblical account of the miracle Jesus performed on the Sea of Galilee. "Now when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great storm arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. We are perishing. But he said to them, Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, Who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 27. We'll study miracles from four viewpoints. First, the definition of a miracle as used in the New Testament. Second, we'll look at three terms or words that refer to miracles in the days of Jesus and the apostles. Number three, we'll note some categories of miracles. And number four, we'll talk about the purpose of the miracles recorded in the New Testament during the days of Jesus and the apostles. What do we mean by a miracle? What's meant when someone says, that was miraculous? Author and Bible scholar Wayne Jackson writes, exactly what is a miracle? People use that term rather loosely, frequently, not at all in a scriptural sense. And what are those telltale traits that identify the miracle and distinguish it from a natural phenomenon? If folks only knew what to look for in certifying the miraculous, they surely would be aware that supernatural deeds are not being performed in this age. How does one define a miracle? Jackson quotes Fisher's definition. A miracle is an event which the forces of nature, including the natural powers of man, cannot of themselves produce, and which they must therefore be referred to a supernatural agency. A miracle is a divine operation that transcends what is normally perceived as natural law. It cannot be explained upon any natural basis. Christian Courier, Wayne Jackson. Number two, these three terms employed in the Greek New Testament that reflect miraculous powers. A, power, mighty work. B, wonder. C, sign. These three terms reflecting a miracle are used together in the following Bible verses. Observe, please. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9. God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 4. Mighty powers are divine powers, powers of God. Wonders, the effect produced in the minds of those who observe, that is, amazement, was generated by these wonders. And all the multitudes were amazed and said, Could this be the son of David? Matthew chapter 12 and verse 23. The chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together a council and said, What shall we do? For this man works many signs. John chapter 11 and verse 47. Again, Luke writes, What shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Acts chapter 4 and verse 16. Sign. A sign indicates that the supernatural event was not an end within itself, Mr. Jackson writes. Rather, it pointed to something else. In the case of the miracles performed by Christ and his apostles, the signs directed attention to the reality that their messages originated with God. Note, this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." John chapter 3 and verse 2. Number 3, let's identify some categories of miraculous occurrences in the days of Jesus and the apostles. Recorded biblical miracles can be divided into several categories. Here are some examples. Supernatural acts of creation by God. "For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." Psalm chapter 33, verse 9. "The worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible." Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3. Creation has been finished. "And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done." Genesis chapter 2 and verse 2. The temporary and localized suspension of laws regulating nature, such as the law of gravity, are miraculous. For example, Jesus walked on water. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they had got into the boat, the wind ceased. John adds this in his account of that miracle. Immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. John chapter 6 and verse 21 from the NIV. "Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, Truly, you are the Son of God." Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Number 3, healings of the physical body. Two examples we'll note. Jesus instantly healed a man who was born blind. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. The apostle Peter instantly healed a man who had been unable to walk since birth, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple. That man asked for alms from John and Peter. Peter said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Acts chapter 3, verses 2 through 7. The man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. Acts chapter 4 and verse 22. Number 4, first century miracles recorded in the Bible demonstrated divine power over death. Again, two examples. Lazarus had been dead 4 days, and his body was already decaying, and Jesus raised him from the dead. John writes, "Jesus cried with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.' And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with the grave cloths, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, 'Loose him and let him go. John chapter 11, verses 43 and 44. Secondly, Tabitha, her Greek name was Dorcas, became sick and died. The disciples heard that Peter was in the area, and they urged him to come quickly. He went to the upper room where Dorcas was lying dead. Peter asked everyone to leave the room, and when they were out, he knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and the widows, he presented her alive. Many believed on the Lord. Acts chapter 9, verses 36 through 42. Number 5. Jesus had superior power over Satan by casting out demons that had entered human bodies. Matthew writes this account. A man was brought to Jesus who was demon-possessed, blind, and mute, and he healed him, so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. Matthew chapter 12, verse 22. Number 6. Biblical miracles demonstrated divine authority over material things. 1. Christ turned water into wine. John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Jesus multiplied a boy's 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed about 5,000 men plus women and children. John chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. Number 7. God showed miraculous power in the animal kingdom. In a miracle, a divine power, a power that no man could perform, God caused Balaam's donkey to talk. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you have struck me these 3 times?" Numbers chapter 22 and verse 28. Genuine miracles were supernatural displays of divine power and traits that demonstrated facts of occurrence that could not be denied. The enemies of Jesus could not deny his signs and wonders. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 24. Annas, the high priest, the rulers, the elders, and the scribes could not deny that Peter and John miraculously healed the lame man, for they said, "What shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." Acts chapter 4 and verse 16. Genuine miracles were not slow. They were not gradual, nor were they progressive in their process. They produced instantaneous effects. Jesus said to a blind man, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight. Mark chapter 10 and verse 52. Immediately, the lame man's feet and ankle bones received strength. Acts chapter 3 and verse 7. In the New Testament, one never reads a statement like this. Peter went to his house and prayed for a man's broken leg, and it was healed in 3 or 4 days. Yet, such testimonies are commonly heard from those who claim to heal. They are imposters. They are fake. They are charlatans. There were credible witnesses to miracles done in the days of Jesus and his apostles, sometimes thousands, as recorded in John chapter 6. Some who observed these biblical miracles were even hostile witnesses who admitted that those miracles were genuine. Acts chapter 4 and verse 16. Miracles, signs, and wonders authenticate Christianity. They were not done behind closed doors. True miracles meet the sense perception, the taste test, if you will. Water that Jesus made into wine could be tasted, John chapter 2 and verse 9. Jesus told Thomas, "Look at my hands. Feel of my side." John chapter 20, verse 27. The restored ear of the high priest's servant could be seen. Luke chapter 22, verse 51. The wonders of the Bible were objective demonstrations, not subjective speculations. Genuine miracles, as described in the sacred scriptures, were amazing phenomena. They were manifestations of the awesome power of the Almighty God. Number 4, what was the purpose of signs, wonders, and mighty powers that were done by Jesus and the apostles? Supernatural events such as signs, wonders, and mighty powers in several instances were used for confirmation of the truth spoken. Jesus did signs to confirm he was God's Son. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. Jesus confirmed the words preached by the apostles by the signs that followed them. Mark declared these words of Jesus, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name will they cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 18. The apostles could, and did, as God directed, signs and wonders to prove that they were speaking God's message. The Hebrews writer makes this declaration concerning the great salvation. "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will." Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. The writer declares that the message of the great salvation, which at first had been spoken through the Lord, was confirmed unto us by them that heard, God also bearing witness with them by both signs and wonders and manifold powers and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. The word confirm denotes evidence that establishes the proof of the divinely given word. Supernatural gifts of the apostolic age had as their design the establishment of the validation of Christ and his spokesman. Their message was that Jesus, the Christ, is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. This message was confirmed by signs and miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit. So how long would they need these signs and wonders and mighty powers? The Apostle Paul mentions 3 signs from a list of 9 gifts that were related directly to the revealing and confirming of God's word to man in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 10. They were prophecies, tongues, and knowledge, that is, supernatural knowledge. These signs were given in part and would cease or pass away. In the next chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul writes, "Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, that which is perfect was the perfect law of liberty, the completion of the revelation of the Scriptures," James chapter 1 and verse 25, "then that which is in part will be done away." 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. Paul, when will prophecies, tongues, and miraculous knowledge pass away? He answers in verse 10, prophecies, tongues, and knowledge, those gifts that were in part, would cease when that which is perfect has come. When God's revelation to man, that is the New Testament, was complete and confirmed, the signs, wonders, and mighty powers would cease. Why would signs, wonders, mighty powers, and miracles stop? They would have no purpose. God's word had been confirmed, and their purpose was finished. Those who contend for signs, wonders, and miracles are by the same logic compelled to teach there is more revelation to come. There is more information to be confirmed. The scriptures are incomplete. The inspired word of God, the Bible, is complete. Paul wrote all scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, truly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Miracles, as described in the scriptures, do not occur today. I'm Wendell Fikes. Thank you for listening. Until this same time next Sunday morning, we bid you a pleasant good day.
We hope that you've been encouraged and will continue your study of God's Word. Please join us again as we search the Scriptures so that we may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Please remember that you are cordially invited to come and study God's Word with us at 2061 North Merciful Circle. From the Parks Highway to Seward Meridian, then turn right on Bogard, just past the Boys and Girls Club on the right. Our meeting times are Sunday morning Bible study for all ages at 10 a.m., followed by Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. Our midweek Bible study for all ages is on Wednesday at 7 p.m. If you have any questions concerning the lesson presented, or would like additional study material or a home Bible study, please visit us at churchofchristwasilla.com or contact us by calling 373-5773. Thank you for listening and searching the scriptures with us this morning.